Rama, Rama. What do I say right now? I forgot what I said. Do I have to do, the what? Oh, but do I have to do, the...
Some people are doing different things now. Narayana Swami still does the full Dhyam. But at least I think we should offer a way to the book what we do. At least that.
Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, text 13. Could you help to chant this? This is it.
Yavano paru yudhayatana.
Yavano paru yudhayatana.
Kastayam kalakanyaya.
Kastayam kalakanyaya.
Puryam prachvara samshita.
Puryam prachvara samshita.
Purapala, purapala vata. Pita
Pura Pala Nivata Pyata
Yavana Parayur Tayatano
Yavana Parayatano
Kastayam Kala Kanyaya
Kastayam Kala Kanyaya
Puryam Prachvara Samshita
Puryam Prachvara Samshita
Pura Pala
Nvatapyata Pura Pala Nvatapyata
Yavana Parudayatana
Yavana Parudayatana
Kastayam Kalakanyaya
Kastayam Kalakanyaya
Puryam Prajvara Samshita
Puryam Prajvara Samshita
Pura
Pala Nvatapyata Pura Pala Nvatapyata Yavana Parudayatana
Yavana Parudayatana
Krishyam Kalakanyaya
Krishyam Kalakanyaya
Puryam Prajvara Samshita
Puryam Prajvara Samshita
Purapala Vatapyatyata
Purapala Vatapyata
Yavano paruda yatano
Yavana parayatano
Rastayam kalakanyaya
Rastayam kalakanyaya
Puryam prashvara samshrishtaha
Puryam prashvara samshrishtaha
Purapalam vatapyata
Purapalam vatapyata
Yavano paruda
Yavana Parayudayatana
Rastayam Kalakanyaya
Rastayam Kalakanyaya
Puryam Prajvara Samshishta
Puryam Prajvara Samshishta
Purabhavam
Vatapyata
You want to read? Okay. Yavana
Yavana.
By the Yavanas.
By the Yavanas.
Uparuda.
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 Attacked.
Attacked.
Ayatana. His abode.
His abode.
Grishtayam.
Grishtayam.
When seized.
When seized.
Kala Kanyaya.
Kala Kanyaya.
By the daughter of time.
By the daughter of time.
Puryam.
Puryam.
The city.
The city.
Prajvara Samshritaha.
Prajvara Samshritaha.
Prajvara Samshrita.
Prajvara Samshrita.
Being approached by Prajvara.
Being approached by Prajvara.
Purapala.
Purapala.
The city superintendent.
The city superintendent.
Anvataptyata.
Anvataptyata.
Became also.
Became also.
Very much aggrieved.
Very much aggrieved.
Translation. The city superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kala Kanya, and he became very aggrieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yeah.
The living entity is covered by two different types of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. At death, we can see that the gross body is finished, but actually, the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The so-called scientists of the modern age cannot see how the subtle body is working in carrying the soul from one body to another. This subtle body has been figuratively described as a serpent. Or the city's police superintendent. When there is fire everywhere, the police superintendent cannot escape either. When there is security and an absence of fire in the city, the police superintendent can impose his authority upon the citizens. But when there is an all-out attack on the city, he is rendered useless. As the life air was ready to leave the gross body, the subtle body also began to experience pain. I'm going to read both of these again one more time. It's really interesting. The translation. The city superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kala Kanya, and he became very aggrieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas. Purport. The living entity is covered by two different types of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. At death, we can see that the gross body is finished, but actually the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The so-called scientists of the modern age cannot see how the subtle body is working in carrying the soul from one body to another. The subtle body has been figuratively described as a serpent. Or the city's police superintendent. When there is fire everywhere, the police superintendent cannot escape either. When there is security and an absence of fire in the city, the police superintendent can impose his authority upon the citizens. But when there is an all-out attack on the city, he is rendered useless. As the life air was ready to leave the gross body, the subtle body also began to experience pain. Okay, so this is very interesting. The first thing I wanted to say about this is a memory, because as I was reading it, I kept on remembering something that I experienced like a few years ago. So I just wanted to recall that, and So one time, a devotee texted me in the middle of the night, and they said, "I think that my mother is going to pass away. So can you come and see?" Can you come to see her and before she passed away? And so when I got this text, and I was really like asleep. It was really like, 1 or 2 in the morning. So I was thinking to myself, like, oh, I just saw her a week ago. I saw the mother a week ago, and she seemed like she was getting better and all this stuff and getting healthy. So I was thinking, like, oh, I can't go there right now. I know she's not going to actually leave her body right now. I have to sleep. Like, there's no way I can do this. And then, so I went to sleep. And then when I went to sleep, and then I woke up like maybe 5 or 6 in the morning. And then Krishna maybe said, it's like, oh, you better just go. You better go to this place. So then I stopped here at the temple, and then I saw Krishna Leela. And then I said, I need some tulsi. And I need like a garland, and so he gave me those things, and he wrapped them in a little paper towel or something, the tulsi was in. And then I got in my car, and then I started to go to this place, and it was really strange. It was up in the North Shore, and it was like a hospice place, it was a hospice. And I was having trouble getting there and all this stuff. But finally I got to this place, and I had the garland and tulsi, and I walked in, and I found the room, and then the family was gathered around the person who was about to leave, and they were like, come, because she was still alive. And then I came and gave her like the garland and the tulsi, and then we were having some chanting there, and like just was like right next to her, like I was right next to her face and like touching her and everything. And then within a few minutes, then she left. Her soul left the body, and it was a very amazing experience to witness this. It was a very spiritual experience. Actually, it was a very changing experience. Like you could almost perceive the subtle body leaving. Yeah, there was something very beautiful about it. And there was something beautiful in that transition. I mean, it was auspicious, that's for sure, that she, somehow she was a very auspicious person, and also her family said she was waiting for you to bring these items, and before she left. And I mean, within 5 minutes of me being there, she left the body. So like this. And so anyway, when I was reading this, that's what I was picturing, that experience. Anyway, it's also obviously what's going to happen to us is that we're going to have to change our body, and so many things around us, everything around us pretty much, except for the devotees and our philosophy and Krishna and the deities and all this wonderful thing in Krishna consciousness, but everything else around us is basically telling us that we're the body, that we're this body, and trying to, keep affirming that you're this body, and basically this body is meant to enjoy You know, this, we're meant to enjoy our senses, we're meant to, you know, enjoy all sorts of things. And this is the huge problem that we have. That, and Prabhupada says that this is garbage. It's like the garbage in our heart. You know, this idea, this is the main problem, is that we think that we are this body. You know, and we hear it so many times. Sometimes you might get bored. Oh, you're not your body, this and that. But for some reason, actually, I don't get bored when I hear, because I really need to be reminded of this, like almost every minute of the day, I kind of need to be reminded of this idea. And even the story I told, like, that really reminded me of that we're not this body, because I saw a person leave the body, you know. So, you know, but then, you know, later you still think we're always, we're not the subtle body either. We have a spiritual identity. So even our subtle body, we may, you know, that's what's carrying us around from life to life, and we have so many subtle attachments as well. You know, subtle. Actually, Mukta Vanya Prabhu, what is the subtle body? Could you
mind,
tell?
Intelligence and false ego.
The mind and intelligence and the false ego. Mm. So even these things, you know, but so sometimes also I think that the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego, the subtle body, it also, one thing to remember too is that that I was hearing a little bit from Prabhupada yesterday, that he was talking about the difference between an animal and a human, you know, and he was saying like that an animal can, he's not thinking about he's suffering, but he's not thinking about his suffering. He can't contemplate, you know, like, why am I suffering? Like, what can I do to get out of this suffering? He said, they're like a lamb that goes to the slaughter. There's a lamb, and he's waiting to die, you know, but he can't think so much about that. He's not thinking like, oh, how can I get out of this situation, or he's, you know, or anything like this. But a human being, on the other hand, that's what this whole story is really about. This is to awaken us to try to find the solutions of our life, you know. And to know, like, yeah, we're suffering. The situations that we put ourselves in are suffering, and how can we get out of the situation? How can we? So it's actually this. What we're reading, this Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. It's an unhappy story. There's so much unhappiness in this story. You know, we're hearing all these. Almost every verse is very unhappy, but it's trying to get us to the stage to become happy. What is this that Prabhupada always says? What does this mean? Brahma, Bhuta, Prashtanatma. What does that mean?
Well, Brahma, Bhuta means the stage of spiritual realization, understanding the pure spirit soul. And if you're in that condition, then you are happy.
So that's the only way. Yeah, that's real happiness, right? So we have to come to that stage and, you know, get through all of this unhappiness. So even we can sort of test ourselves and see, like, with the things that we're unhappy about, you know, we can say, I may be unhappy about this thing, or I want that thing, and this is making me unhappy. So even we should be somewhat self-reflective, you know, and look at ourselves and see, like, oh, this is absurd. You know, this is absurd that I mean, it's not absurd. It's natural, actually, that a human can, you know, like we just said, a lamb or an animal, they can't really philosophize or try to figure out the solution. But in another sense, we can, you know, analyze ourselves as devotees and see what are the things as devotees that are bothering us, and what is our unhappiness? Because we'll usually find that it's really something quite simple. It's not that big of a deal. Sometimes it feels like such a big deal, the little things that we're unhappy about or that, you know, upset about. But if we really analyze it, it's just Maya. It's just a material energy that's really, and in another sense, that unhappiness can urge us to, like, just, yeah, go further and make advancement and become happy, like, the, you know, become, yeah, realize our, you know, spiritual identity, and then come into our relationship with Krishna like that. So these are some points on the that I can think of on this verse. Does anybody have any comments about this, or questions or ideas?
I was thinking of a verse from the teachings of Lord Kapila, in which he says that bhakti, the devotional service, actually destroys the subtle body. And that is so astonishing and so big.
That's really interesting.
And in this story, we're seeing how most people who go through the process of their material life, and at the end of their material life, their subtle body, here his subtle body is getting agitated and getting ready to move on. But it's still there in full force.
Mm.
And why is the subtle body still there? Why isn't he just leaving that as well as his material body? And I think the reason is desire nature. King Virajana here has so many desires that are unfulfilled. And if we go further into the story, we see that the last thing that he thought of when he was leaving was his wife. That was the center of his desire.
Yeah. That desire nature is just carrying us like this from body to body. And also, just enjoying, like, the enjoying spirit, you know, that we want to enjoy. I mean, really, in a sense, that's what desire is, that we want to enjoy, separately from Krishna, you know? So we want to enjoy a person, we want to enjoy, you know, generally sex, like, we want to enjoy sex life, so that's, like, the root cause. We want to enjoy this with somebody, you know? So it's carrying us around. I want to say, I know that Muktavani had something to say, but I just want to say one other thing about this that I just remembered, that it was something I read that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami said, he said the beginning of humility is the absence of the enjoying mentality. So I thought that was sort of really interesting, that the beginning of humility is the absence of the enjoying mentality. So, and then I also wanted to say one other quick, actually, did you have something? Oh, I wanted to say one other thing was that, because I was talking to, Krishna Leela, we were talking the other day, and I asked him, well, I'll just say it anyway, it doesn't matter. But we couldn't remember the six items of surrender from Saranagrati and Bhaktivinoda Thakura. So I just looked it up. Did you look it up too? Oh, you did? Could you tell us? Do you remember?
I don't remember all of them. I just remember.
Should I say it? What?
Yeah, go ahead.
So They are
humility is the first one. I remember.
What's the first one?
Humility.
Oh, humility. Okay, yeah. So that ties into what we're saying. You know, humility. The six items of surrender, and then humility, and another giving our. We can have a whole talk about this another time. Just say, but, giving ourselves. Sorry. Okay, let me just read this here. Accepting things favorable is one. Rejecting things unfavorable. Accepting that Krishna is our only maintainer. Accepting that Krishna is our only protector. And developing a deep sense of humility and fully giving ourselves for the purpose of Guru and Krishna. So, but we'll talk about that another time. But the point of humility is really important, because if we can somehow try to disable this enjoying mentality that we have and try to have a more serving mentality, then maybe we can also, you know, this can happen, that we won't be so this just, you know, be like mod, like Chaturmaya said, like so much in this desire nature that's carrying us from body to body. If we can somehow become humble and not in the enjoying spirit, and somehow in the spirit of trying to serve each other, serve the devotees, and serve humanity at large, and of course, you know, and serve Krishna and serve Prabhupada, then maybe we can. The subtle body can dissolve, and you know, we and our attachments, our senses, and the material body can dissolve. You know, so I'm sorry I talked too much. And Muktabhanya Prabhu.
You didn't talk too much. Okay.
And what did you? You seem like you had a good idea.
No, one of the obvious things to remark on is Prabhupada talked about. Constantly, you're not that body. Even our lecturer who was in Vrindavan in 1976, this was after he'd been preaching for several years, like 10 years, and he's in Vrindavan, the land of Krishna, and he's talking, giving class there, and he's talking about how you're not the body. And generally, when any guest came, he was preaching to any guest in his room or in any situation at all, he would always speak, you're not this. He's always almost invariably start from the point, you're not this body. We've heard it a million times. We have some understanding of it philosophically, but even I was thinking about this a while ago. We've heard. Yes, I'm not this body, but we're still like, well, maybe I'm this body a little bit. I'm still pretty attached. Maybe I'm sort of this body. But the point is, we don't have anything to do with the body. We're not. If people are generally under the impression, they think, like in Christianity, they have the idea that the soul and the body are like very closely interrelated, and one needs the other. Like you're both things. You're the body and the soul. And the soul, the body, the soul needs a body to express itself and live. But it's not that at all. The soul has nothing to do with the body. Nothing at all. The body, we have nothing to do with it. Krishna gives the example of the clothes in the Bhagavad Gita, that you take off your old clothes, you throw them away. You're not the clothes. And another example is the water, the rain that falls from the sky. And the rain falls, it's in a pure state. When it falls on the dirt, it mixes with the dirt, and it appears to be muddy. But actually the water is never contaminated by the dirt. The water is never muddy. The water is always pure. But it, in contact with the dirt, it appears to be muddy. So that's the example that's given, one example that's given to the soul. When you come to the material world, you apparently apparently come in contact with the material energy, but actually you never mix. You, the soul, never actually mix with the material energy. You, the soul, are always pure. But we think we're under the illusion of material energy. We're convinced that we're mixed, or we are made of material energy. And just the other thing, the example that Prabhupada always gave was to explain how one example he gave, that you're not that body. He would talk to people and he would say, well, if you see your father or your son and dead on the floor and you're crying, oh, John, Mr. John, Mr. John, but John, Mr. John doesn't move. So that he gives that to say that thing that all these years you thought was Mr. John is just lying there. So obviously that wasn't Mr. John. The thing that was Mr. John went somewhere else. And the other thing was the subtle body. In every culture there's an understanding, there's some idea of ghosts. And some people, oh, I don't believe in ghosts. But ghost just means that that's one reason there's cremation in Vedic culture and other cultures also, so that if this you in the subtle body are really attached to the gross body because you've been in it for such a long time, so you want to hang around it. So if they burn it up, then you have to leave it and go on to your next situation. So otherwise you might, that's why a ghost wants to stay, because it's still attached. Or they stay in their house, they live in their house for 40 or 50 years and they don't want to leave the house, so they hang around the house in the subtle body.
I heard that George Harrison, when he passed, he was very, very diligent or serious. He made like all these arrangements so that his body could be cremated very quickly after he passed, because his body had so much fame, and you know that he knew, like, he was smart, that he wanted to be cremated immediately and brought to Vrindavan, you know, so that was very wise, you know.
That's a good example. I didn't know that before.
So. Anything? Thank you so much. Anything else? Oh, yes.
I just was thinking of the six principles of surrender. And about the principle of humility. You said that it's... what's the definition?
It doesn't say a definition.
Everything is the beginning of humility.
The beginning of humility is the absence of the enjoying mentality.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the absence of enjoying mentality, because when we really start to understand all the six things, that Krishna, he is actually our only protector and maintainer. When we really meditate and we contemplate, when we understand how much we are loved, so when there is a relationship, you naturally want to give up the enjoying spirit because you want to serve a person you love. So it's like, it comes naturally when there is a relationship. That's why it's also so important, I think, to have relationship with the devotees in this world, if we cannot have relationship with Krishna, because sometimes for us it's so difficult, I think, in this body here,
right.
I don't see Krishna in front of my eyes. So I think when there is a relationship, it's very easy to give up the sense of enjoying spirit. When there is no relationship, it's more difficult with just being intelligent.
Wow, that's really connects us. That really connects us. So if we have the serving. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just want to make a comment. So Nartha and Navriti purifies the mind, intelligence, and the false ego, which we identify as.
Yeah.
So by doing the process, it actually purifies our subtle body.
That's awesome too. So just by chanting and just hearing and chanting these things, they purify our subtle body, our anarchas in our subtle body. Yeah. So it seems like our process is extremely powerful, and that we just have to keep following this process and keep trying to serve the devotees and love devotees and love Krishna, and then we can find out our real identity, our real spiritual identity, and get rid of this nasty enjoying spirit that we may or may not have, but I have it, you know. So okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.